Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and of course to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Today I want to have a conversation about risk. And for the work that I do coaching clients, risk is an important conversation that we have on a regular basis. The ability to assess risk and to mitigate risk is a key business skill. And in the course of my work, I was going through some files thinking about risk and thinking about what I might like to talk to my clients about. And I came across an article that I wrote last year, and that article I wrote for Dental Innovations was really all about risk. And of course, the title of that article is called Risky Business, Don't Get Caught Short. So what I thought I'd do in this particular podcast was to provide a brief synopsis of the article and to share some lessons that came out of the GFC through their learnings around that, but also to share some things that surprised me that I wasn't anticipating when it came to COVID-19 and the coronavirus. So with respect to the article was inspired by me watching a film, and that film was called The Big Short. And I was watching that as I flew across to America. And of course, now there's no way known I can fly anywhere. None of us can. The borders are all closed. So the idea of getting on a plane now seems quite remote. But at the time, when I wrote this, I was watching the film The Big Short on the plane. And that particular film got me thinking in a really big way. For those that have seen the film, you'll know what I'm talking about. For those who have not seen the film, it documents what happened with the global financial crisis. And the story centers around a particular fund manager played by Christian Bale. And this fund manager is really, really smart, and he was able to assess what was happening in the marketplace. You know, while everyone thought the good times would never end, the party would keep going forever and ever, he was the one who put his nose to the wind and could smell trouble. He was the one who could look at the markers and draw conclusions and join the dots looking forward, if you will. And he was able to make some calculated assessments, manage and mitigate his risk so that when the global financial crisis really did hit, and of course it did, you know, hit spectacularly, he was able to profit while all those people around him lost huge sums of money. So the thing around that movie that got me thinking was, why weren't more people aware of the impending crisis? Why weren't more people doing what Christian Bale's character did? And I realized that, as I said, it's easy to join the dots in hindsight. It's much less obvious when you're in the thick of the situation. And in 2007, I should say, the economy was going strong. Everyone was making money. Yeah, and as I said, no one wanted the party to end. So it occurred to me as a result of that film that very, very few businesses proactively assessed risk. Most people do it reactively. And I believe that one of the fundamental skills a business owner really needs to come to terms with is the ability to proactively assess risk. And of course, you know, as business owners, we're generally motivated to do well commercially. We balance that need to provide great clinical care with commercial sustainability pretty well, I believe, on the whole. And so that means to do that, we're trying to maximize opportunities, grow the practice. And most dentists understand that there is an inherent risk in some of that activity. And yet, in spite of understanding that, very few people proactively assess risk. So I guess one of the things that's really important to understand is that each risk, no matter what type of risk it is, we need to understand that it's multifaceted. And that means that, you know, we need to think about risk from the point of view of probability of it occurring, the cost of it should occur, and the degree of control that we have over that particular risk or that particular event. And so we often go through the process of plotting those risks on some form of matrix, and then from there, you know, developing a mitigation strategy. So as I said, the big lesson that came through from The Big Short was, you know, the need to proactively assess risk. And one of the things I wanted to think about in this particular situation was, you know, were people proactively assessing risk? We'd been thinking about risk now for years, because I was talking to a couple of people in the financial world who are much smarter than me when it comes to this stuff. And they were saying for a long time, that, you know, I'm not sure when it's going to come. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but there is something around the corner that is not a good financial outcome. In particular, I'm referring to a colleague, Dr. David Phelps, who runs another podcast out of the States. He was on my podcast talking about, you know, risk and preparing for downturns and all those sorts of things. So he was one of those people like Christian Bale's character, you know, sounding the warning bells before it occurred. And I'm not sure whether everyone was listening because everyone was too busy making good money. So I think there's some similarities there. And the similarity, of course, is that when the times are good, we need to stop and reflect, you know, sniff the breeze around us, smell if there's trouble brewing, and be able to identify risk and then mitigate risk. So some of the things that, you know, I think lessons that could have been learned from the GFC that applied directly to COVID-19 were around cash flow management particularly. You know, businesses, you know, go in and out of business based on their ability to manage cash flow. And cash flow management is, again, an important skill. And it's, in fact, it's an essential skill. And what I noticed in the global financial crisis was the businesses that survived were the ones that were able to manage their cash, same with COVID. And it was really interesting to me in the recent COVID-19 situation is some of the practices that I know through social media and all the rest of it manage revenue very well, but I'm not 100% certain about how well they're managing cash flow because there were some concerns and conniptions about their ability to get through this crisis. So again, we've got to measure that right number. And like the GFC, I think, you know, some people caught up measuring the wrong number. So cash flow is the number to measure. And that's a big lesson that came out of the GFC. Another big lesson that came out of the GFC that I think is important to learn is crises come and go. This crisis of COVID-19, as I've said previously, will pass and we will get through this and then we'll need to take those lessons moving forward because there will be another crisis in another 10 years or thereabouts and hopefully we'll learn the lessons from this one to take them forward. So again, being able to prepare. I think one of the things that for me was common across the COVID situation and the global financial crisis was fear. And of course, when people are fearful, emotions are running high, the ability to make rational and intelligent decisions when, you know, emotions are high is low. And so one of my friends got a saying that, you know, when emotions are high, intelligence is low. And so we need to be able to keep our fear in check. We need to be able to understand that we've got to make good decisions. One way of keeping your fear in check comes back to the ability to have your cash flow really, really strong. So some of the things that surprised me around the COVID-19 situation that I think would have been hard to prepare for. The first one is the speed with which it occurred. I think in January and February, we were mainly worried about having supplies of PPE. And then very quickly, we began to realize that this was a health crisis of significant proportions that had the potential to, you know, literally, you know, shut down business, including ours. And that meant the demand side of things was going to be suppressed and our ability to supply because we couldn't operate was also suppressed. So it affected the supply and the demand side of the equation. The GFC, because it was a financial crisis, really only affected the demand side of the equation because people stopped spending money. But here in Australia and in dentistry at least, the supply and the demand was affected. So again, a bit of a difference. So that surprised me as well. What surprised me was the breadth of businesses affected. You know, when you think about the ripple effect, you know, in the global financial crisis, I was in Queensland at the time, and I remember that there was, you know, the mining economy going quite well at that particular point, and probably in some states, the mining economy was able to support those states through tax revenue and so on. But in this particular crisis, you know, there's been pain felt across nearly every industry sector. Yes, there'll be some individual businesses that have done well, and certainly the businesses, you know, in dentistry that we've been working with, some of them had their best ever months, but they've done that because they've been able to prepare very well in the previous, you know, years to be ready for a crisis. So some businesses have done well for sure, but, you know, for me, the breadth across the industry sectors has been surprising. I thought it might be a little more confined to some of the obvious ones, you know, like tourism, hospitality, and so on. But of course, it's gone broader than that. Beyond that, I think, you know, one of the things that surprised me, of course, has been the degree of government stimulus and the degree of government support to support small business in particular, and the willingness of the government to go into debt, the willingness of the government to keep people attached to their employers through JobKeeper, JobSeeker, and all those other sorts of things has been phenomenal. And of course, you know, that particular program as of today has been extended for some time. I think it's going to be hanging around till, you know, March in some form or another. So it's another 6 months. It may not be exactly the same format, but I've got to go through and read the press release on that today. But in essence, it's going to be hanging around longer. So the government is committed to stimulus for a long period of time. And that gives an indication of what they're thinking about. Now, my understanding from the dental perspective, of course, is there are some really good opportunities here. Where there's upheaval, there's also opportunity. So one of the massive similarities, I believe, that's going to come out of the GFC as well as from the coronavirus situation, is there will be massive fortunes made off the back of this crisis. And the people who are best positioned to be able to do that are the ones, as I said earlier, who have protected their cash flow, been able to, you know, keep their team together, been able to use the downtime wisely, and as I said, be able to come through this and really grow through it as well. There'll be some regional differences for sure. There'll be some places that are a little harder to, you know, get going than others, but there'll be, you know, I think opportunities generally as a thought process, because wherever there's upheaval, there's absolutely opportunity. The key thing though is being alert to those opportunities and having the courage to act on them. And what I think is going to be necessary for business owners to be able to do that, again, is to know that they're confident in their numbers, to know that they're confident in their cash flow, to be able to manage that risk. So as they're making decisions, they're proactively assessing that decision against a risk matrix, understanding, you know, what could go well, what could go wrong. Can I manage what can go wrong? Can I live with what can go wrong and therefore make some decisions accordingly? So what's the upside? What's the downside? And can I live with the downside? So again, all of that risk mitigation is going to be really important as you make decisions moving forward as well. So as I said, you know, that article that I wrote, you know, 6 or 9 months ago for Dental Innovations, it was sitting on my computer and I thought, you know, that's actually something that's been thought-provoking for me to go, you know, what did we see that we could have predicted? What did we see that we couldn't have predicted? And what are the lessons to take from this? And I think, you know, again, I really want to stress this point is there will be other crises. There will be things that go wrong down the track. And those businesses that thrive and prosper through, you know, good times and bad are the ones that manage cash flow, that are well led, that have some great team structures around them and have the ability to manage risk proactively rather than reactively. And I think those are key lessons that for every business owner, whether you've been through the GFC or you've obviously now been through COVID, those are things to take away and start thinking about your log of lessons learned and building out your strategy so that if you've copped a blood nose or a black eye through this COVID situation, to make sure that you never get another blood nose or black eye again, to make sure that you're going to build yourself a financial moat that's going to allow you to sleep very well at night, that's going to allow you to capitalize on the opportunities that invariably come when there is a crisis, because recession is when things go on sale. And so there's going to be massive opportunities coming through. And if you're in a strong cash position right now, then you're going to be licking your lips and thinking this is, you know, sale time shortly. So in any event, I hope you found that helpful. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the next podcast next week. So take good care and we'll see you then. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.